Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. I listen to the song every day and I'm like, oh, Colin's coming on. And I read this the other day. Colin does this thing where, have you guys noticed, where he acts like, well, I can do this story because it's radio only. Like, I can't do this in television. It's like, it's the same show, dude. Music, is there a delineation? Are there stories which, all right, let's go after dark's time. Like, is this, right? It's like, is that like Skinemax and this is HBO? what is the...
Well, I think it would be the other way around. I think on TV, they like to play it a little bit more safe, and radio, we can color outside the lines a bit more.
Okay. I didn't know if anybody's ever said anything to Colin, or anybody has like the ability to go to say something to Colin. You can't. And I don't know any of his subject matter is outside the lines, really, right?
I would agree. I don't see it that way as he does, but I think that's where the logic comes from.
Fair enough. Love the guy. Don't know where he is, but I know he just tweeted that he shaved off his mustache. Didn't know he had a mustache.
See, here's the thing. He didn't have a mustache.
Yeah.
He had a full beard,
yeah.
But the mustache
was the most
still
prominent.
Grew in much darker than the rest of his facial hair. So on TV, it looked like he may have only had a mustache. So Everyone kept commenting, saying, you have a mustache, and it wasn't. So I think that's why he decided to shave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 4 years that I've known you, you've only had a full beard mustache, right?
That's correct.
Have you ever thought about going to the mustache look?
I did a little test run over the winter time. I let it all grow out thick. And I was trimming it down closer to the skin. And so I left the mustache, ran it by the wife. Didn't go over well. So that's going to be a no.
Yeah. Well, you just got married. So breaking out the mustache in year one of marriage is not a, it's not a thing. It's got to be one to where when you have a couple of kids and she goes from heels to flats, right? She's kind of milling a little bit like, I'm just going to switch it up and throw on the mustache. And then you can kind of be quirky mustache guy, mustache dad. And then then you can shave it or whatever. I would generally agree with Kim's assessment that year one is not the year to go mustache. On the other hand, we're coming out of quarantine. And like, if you haven't tried different quirky things with facial hair over the last year, you're never going to. We agree with that? Like, well, I always thought about growing a beard. If you didn't grow one when you didn't have to leave your house and most people were in pajamas all day, well, then it's not gonna happen. I had it's interesting. My son has a couple of buddies who live in LA, play for our basketball team. So I picked two of them up and brought them to my house yesterday so they could hang out. Cause they usually only hang out practice and games and they're both, they're both off. And so I said like, man, it feels like stuff like in where we live is relatively open. It's starting to open back up in Los Angeles, and he said, and this is an 11-year-old kid. It was a great analogy. He's like, you know, it would be like if you're driving from L.A. to New York, and you got to go to New York City, and you just cross into, like, the state of New York. You're like, 2 hours away. It's like, that's what it feels like where we are. I was like, that's perfect. It's perfect. Because anybody who's been on one of those really, really long rides, you're like, well, I've been in the car for 12 hours. I only have 2 more hours to go. And I know from New York to LA is a lot more than it's days, you know, right? But you're like, here's the analogy. If you're in Southern California, you listen to us on AM 570. You drive to Vegas and you get to, is it Prim? Right? Prim is that first like border town. You're like, oh, I see casinos and a roller coaster. Like, yeah, that's not Vegas yet. You still have like another 45 minutes, right, or hour. And or you get to Baker. And at night, you can see Vegas. You can see the lights in the sky. And then you come up over a hill. You're like, I see Vegas. You're like, you're not there yet. We're almost there. Almost there. Like, you can't go 100. You can't just light years there. You're going to be there eventually. That was a good analogy, though, from an 11-year-old kid, right?
We should bring him on the staff.
We should. I saw this from Todd McShay. I love the who else was there. So Mac Jones was throwing at Alabama's Pro Day the other day. And there's a bunch of different photos. There's lots where Saban is, you know, talking with coaches. And you're like, man, Saban, whatever he's saying, just write it down. It's genius. And then there's some video of Belichick and Lynch and Shanahan all talking. Like, oh, they got to be talking about a Jimmy G trade. It's possible they're like, what have you guys been up to? Nothing. What have you been up to? Nothing. Can you believe that we're here in Alabama and we're watching Mac Jones? Like, never would have thought we were here for two. Right? Like, there's a million things they could be talking about, but let's... Hey, KD and Kyrie, apparently when they were talking in that hallway, were actually talking about playing together. So let's assume for a second that they were talking about changing quarterbacks. I gave you Jimmy G, and you want to get rid of him, clearly. Like, you give him back to me. So there's another guy who was there, Todd McShay. So McShay, obviously, Draft Guru, ESPN. And his latest mock draft, he said the Patriots go get the final Big Five quarterback. Quote, I'm not sure the Patriots would jump into the top 10 for a quarterback, but hopping four spots to one is very, very much a possibility. So in his latest mock, he has them trading with the Giants to get Justin Fields. He goes on to write, even after the Niners move up the board, it doesn't appear that Jimmy Garoppolo is in the cards this season for the Patriots. And while they brought back Cam Newton, the veteran is only signed to a $3.5 million guarantee. The Pats haven't spent a first-round pick on a quarterback since 93. That was Drew Bledsoe. But now's the time. Fields is an accurate downfield thrower. He can develop into a top-tier starter for a team searching for stability of the position in the post-Tom Brady era. I'm not going to tell you I even begin to know what Bill Belichick's doing. I can tell you, though, that if Cam Newton is only making $3.5 million, he's not going to be the starter for long. You understand? Right? He's not, which is about right. Like, Cam Newton can't throw a football very well. Oh, he's a league. Like, he can't. He had three games, and check to make sure I have the number right. I believe he had three games where he had less than 100 yards passing. And they won a couple of those games as well. And we can go back, well, they didn't have weapons. Like, okay, that's fine. But when you're throwing dirt balls, and you've had multiple shoulder surgeries, and the rest of the league is staying away. Like, look, he wouldn't have re-signed for 3.5 if he thought he's going to kill it somewhere else. Sorry, four games under 100. I actually undersold it. Under 100 yards passing. Now, he went 2-2 in those games. They won in spite of, not because of, his arm. So Cam Newton's not the future. He's not really even the present there. He's just a good dude, good, very well respected. But here's my thing. We've all followed the draft. Colin follows the draft incredibly tightly. So do I. We talk to the same people. And every year a rumor comes up about an athletic quarterback that Bill Belichick has a thing for, right? Do you remember? I mean, look, when Lamar Jackson was out, the team that people thought was going to jump up and take Lamar Jackson was, in fact, the Patriots. Because part of it is we always go with the opposite, right? He had a statue and an absolute genius in Brady, but the league has changed. So some of it is the league changing, but some of it is I'd like to know how the other half lives. Have a guy who can run. Have a guy who can, if things don't work out, he can make it happen with his legs. We can move the pocket. We can move him all over. There's just no athletic limitations. And if you go back and track the Patriots rumored drafted quarterback, almost all of them are guys that, and I know they drafted Ryan Mallett, who wasn't a runner, and I know they drafted Jared Stidham, who can run, but is not a runner, and they had Jimmy Garoppolo, who was more athletic before the injuries, whatever. But the rumors recently have all been Belichick wants somebody who's athletic. Justin Fields ran a 4.4 yesterday. Now, I know Urban's not there anymore, but if you look at the programs that Belichick has trusted the most, Urban Meyer's program at Florida and Ohio State, and Greg Schiano's program at Rutgers. Like, those are his guys. And now, and Alabama as well. Like, those are the three, you know, Saban has the Parcells tie. He's got the Parcells tie. That's where it all kind of comes together. Does it make sense? Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, if you're going to have Cam Newton as your starter at the start of the year, it would stand to reason that whoever comes and ultimately replaces him would run a similar offense, right? Cam Newton's not going to run an offense that's West Coast. He's going to run one where it emphasizes his ability to throw it, but also emphasizes his ability to run it. They didn't get big pass-catching tight ends because they were going to get a deadly accurate, you know, guy with a pea shooter for an arm. No, you're going to get somebody like Cam Newton with a howitzer for an arm that may lack some of the technical accuracy. All of this is Justin Fields. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. But that doesn't mean Belichick is committed. I'm just saying, for the longest time, Belichick has seen how, and what's the other thing he's seen how the league has gone? Right, the sweet spot for building a roster is with a young quarterback, especially one's second, third, fourth year of their deal. You get somebody mid first round, they're making $7-8 million. You combine that with the 3.5 he's paying for Cam, that's a reasonable sum of money. And you can go in and, as they've done in free agency, and as I told you they would do on this very show a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, free agency, nobody else has money except for the Pats. This is how they're going to rebuild their team. They got a bunch of young guys from last year. They got guys come back off opt-out, and they're going to go spend smartly in free agency and try and fix it then and worry about the quarterback later. And this would be the quarterback later. This would be the quarterback later. Coming up next, does John Middlecoff think the Patriots should trade up to get their new franchise QB? Plus, are the Niners really taking Mac Jones? And does he fit Shanahan well enough to be taken that highly in the draft? And is there any way that Houston can move Deshaun Watson now? Find out. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast, joins us next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be spending your day. We're also, a week away from the Masters, but no Tiger. So that's kind of like, won't, won't. We just cheer for Max Homa. Is that what we got to do? Think so. John Middlecoff, our guest, 3 and Out Podcast. He's got like a bunch of different podcasts he juggles. But 3 and Out, I think, is his best one. Although I'm sure he's ready to get some, you know, daily, you know, go to Bet Rivers and get some daily golf fix in there. Who's winning the Masters?
Don't sleep on Jordan Spieth. Kid's hot.
He's finally got it back together?
Yeah, he's got it back. He's been playing really well this year. He's playing well. He played well yesterday at the Valero. You know, Augusta is a place where he could have won multiple times if he doesn't have that epic, I guess not epic, but
it
tragic.
It was epic. Meltdown?
Yeah, his career kind of got derailed
because,
you know,
of that.
After that.
Yeah. No, that was his Nick Anderson missing 4 free throws game 1 of the NBA Finals kind of moment.
100%. And he's, you know, he's still young. He won all these tournaments, you know, in his early 20s. He's only 27 years old, so it's not like he's shot by any means. So I like him. I like Bryson, too. I mean, Bryson changed his game, went there in the fall, and kind of got to test out all the lines. He still made the cut. Obviously, he didn't come close to winning, but I think he's going to be a major factor next week.
Okay, let's get to some of this NFL stuff. If San Francisco takes Mac Jones third, what would John Middlecoff's most honest reaction be?
I think it would be insanity. I think it would be a combination of two things. Listen, I wouldn't mind necessarily Kyle believing in the guy and thinking that he could win big with him. He won big with Matt Ryan, and I'm sure he would say that I see a lot of Matt Ryan in this kid. But to me, the value, and this is where I think coaches sometimes and front office people butt heads, the Eagles were clearly open to trading back. They went from 6 to 12, which was the Niners spot. You cannot convince me that the Niners couldn't have just used one first-round pick to go from 12 to 6 to get Mac Jones there. So I think it would just be a waste of resources. And that happens often.
Now what they're going to say is, yeah, we know somebody else who likes Mac who would have traded up.
I would say a little like Daniel Jones when Gettleman took him at 6 and he was adamant that he wouldn't have been there at 17. I would just say, I don't believe you. Because I think a lot of this stuff is, if you put an Iowa helmet or a Washington helmet on Mac Jones, he's a third-round pick. And I like Mac Jones, and I actually think it's gone too far. Like, the guy's at Alabama, the guy kicked everyone's butt, the players love him. Like, I think he's a pretty good prospect. But 3 overall, six overall is insane, but I understand the way quarterbacks operate. But relative to the rest of what makes a guy a big-time prospect, this is not free agency. Like, you have to project, right? I mean, that's Justin Fields, Trey Lance. These guys are 6'4". They can run. They got big arms. You have to mold them. Like, part of Mac Jones is his upside is just limited. You know, if, like, his comparison's like Jared Goff. Like, that's not I can't – that one would be – but I don't believe it. Like
Let's do this. Let me just do a quick exercise with you. I was doing this yesterday to try and help my brain understand kind of my stance. Okay, the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Okay, top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Right, Mahomes.
Right? Yep.
Rodgers.
Yep.
Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Okay.
Brady.
We're going to put Brady in there. Okay, Brady as of now still in there. Okay. Josh Allen?
Yep.
You okay with that? Okay. Do we put Dak in there?
It's hard to tell because he got injured. I'd have him toward the end, between like 8 to 12.
Yeah, which I think is about right. Okay. Lamar Jackson, we have him in there?
Yeah, I mean, he wins every year.
Okay. We don't know if he'll play this year or status, but Deshaun Watson?
He's playing. He's a top 10 quarterback.
Okay. Who are we missing? Matt Stafford? Do we do Matt Stafford? Is that too high?
I mean, I think he could easily jolt in there with a good season with Sean, for sure.
Okay. Who am I missing here?
Short sample size, but I mean, Herbert is a good example of like, wow, right?
Yeah. Now Herbert's got a lot of he looks the part. Sure looks the part, okay? So now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, that's 10. And I'm sure there's a couple others that we could, you know, there's Kyler, there's Cousins, there's Derek Carr. Cousins and Derek Carr seem like those guys that are a little bit limited in terms of their ceiling, but they're solid. Kyler, we think has a higher ceiling, but he did get hurt, and there are some limitations there, right? So they're all kind of clumped together. Carson Wentz could recover. Right now, you wouldn't put him on that list, right? That's generally the working list. Is that okay?
Fair. Yep.
Okay. How many of these guys are like Justin Fields and Trey Lance? How many of them are? And is Matt Ryan on that list?
I'd say the last couple of years, it feels like he hasn't quite been there. He's been closer to 15 than 8.
Okay. You have Justin Fields. You have Trey Lance. You have Mac Jones. There are more, it feels like the league is trending more like Trey Lance and Justin Fields than it is Mac Jones. Now, look, Brady is a pocket guy. He's not a great athlete. He had a ton of success, granted different than Mac Jones. Matt Ryan's had a ton of success. We mentioned, it feels like they're trading up to draft Kirk Cousins. That's what that feels like they're doing.
Yes, I would agree. And I just think that that's insane. I mean, that's just because part of, to me, emptying your savings account to risk it all is to invest in Facebook in 2007, right? Is to think like I could hit or Netflix or Uber, not to like put it in some like low risk ETF.
Yeah, like if you're me in 2013 and you go and talk to a guy and test drive a Tesla and he says, you know what you should do is you should, instead of buying this car, you should put it all in Tesla stock at like $73 and then wait a couple years, take out the money that you make and then buy yourself a brand new Tesla. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to do that. That actually happened to me. Actually, and I did not take his advice.
Seriously? That's a dead serious story?
Dead serious. The guy's name is Lloyd. He lives in San Luis Obispo. I test drove his car and he was like, listen, I'm just telling you this stock ceiling is like he said the ceiling is like 250. Obviously that was undersold greatly. But
how often do you think, like, if I just would have put like 50K in that thing? Oh my God.
Not every day. But usually,
but it crosses your mind.
But usually days that end in Y. John Middlecoff, our guest, Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is Colin's the other way around. Like that dude kills it, or at least claims to kill it in the stock market. Just absolutely like, you know what I invested in about a year ago and I just happened to cash out today. Like, thanks, Colin. Thanks for ruining my day. Appreciate that one. I really appreciate that one. Okay. What do you do if you're Houston? Like, you can't move him now. Like, you just ride it out, and then eventually you got to dump him, I guess, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if nothing kind of comes of this and it just kind of stays on this path, is he going to get suspended, you know, or put on that commissioner exempt list? Kind of feels where it's headed unless this all just disappears, and it doesn't feel like it's disappearing anytime soon. Here's what I know. The first couple times when people came out, I'm like, and the stories were saying that teams were still interested. No one, absolutely no one in the league could trade for him right now. You could not do it. Even if they're like, you can have him for a fifth round pick. I still think, because if it came out that he was doing stuff, you just don't shake that. And he would get suspended. Like, I just think, if it came out that this stuff is true, like, I don't know, is he ever playing in the NFL again? I guess it would be the severity of what truly happened. But I think we often learn that we never truly know the details on the he said, she said, but there's so many she said on this one. Like, it's insane. And I know yesterday, or if all kind of days run together, a couple days ago, they got, you know, countless people to come out in support of him. But maybe you tweeted, I saw someone, like, in what world does a guy, in a world where all these people, right, have an individual trainer, have an individual chef, well, you find a good one and you just roll with it, right? If you have an individual masseuse, especially in your, I understand if you're traveling, like I saw someone, one of Kobe's security guards tweeted he had a different one in every town. Like, I understand that, like, when you're traveling around. But as a football player, you don't – that's not – that doesn't happen. You don't – it's not basketball or baseball. You're really just in Houston the whole time, maybe in L.A. in the offseason. But wouldn't you just have, like, two or three total masseuses? That's where I have red flagged the situation as someone who's, you know, just wanted to give Deshaun big time the benefit of the doubt. Like, it is kind of weird, you know, that he just has – an unlimited number of massage therapists that he works with. Like, I would imagine most, like, the average NFL player, like a J.J. Watt or whatever, probably just has one or two
right
that are, like, his go-to, right? Or Tiger Woods or whatever would just have one main one once they find a good one. Like, once you get a good car dealership, once you find a good restaurant, like,
correct,
usually kind of play the creature, hits
We're
life,
creatures
right?
of habit, right? We're creatures of habit, yeah. And that's what that's, you know. You find, especially if you ever find somebody that gives a good massage, if it's about the massage and gives a good, or even if it's not about the massage, you usually, that's the person that you go back to, right? Like everyone I know has a favorite restaurant. Where's your, I don't really have a, everybody wants to be Norm at Cheers, right? Right? Everybody wants to be that, apparently, except Deshaun Watson, who's a serial massage receiver. I don't even know what that term
is. Yeah, it is to me, that's a red flag for sure.
Crazy, because if you go back a couple weeks ago, you couldn't find a human being that had anything bad to say about him in the NFL. Nothing.
And I still don't think you're really finding any of that. I just think people are like, God, this is kind of getting weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where it just it's hard to people are just kind of going silent, like, just see how this thing plays out. But I think we are all just have the situation a little red flagged. Like, it's turned against him in the sense of, like, you know, is there something there? You know, is clearly this guy needs to – most guys learn this, but just clean up his little circle, right? I mean, doesn't he – the guy needs to get some help, just someone that can line him up with just one individual.
John Middlecoff, our guest here in the Herd, Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. Yeah, that thing is odd to say the least. What do you think happens with Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, do you think they really hold on to him for a year? Just feels so. Oh, and it worked for Alex Smith. Like, yeah, okay, that's fine. That doesn't feel like Jimmy's going to enjoy it. Like last time he was starting quarterback at the end of a season, they were in the Super Bowl, leading in the second half. Now all of a sudden you're replacing me and I'm supposed to be good with it? Like, yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, part of Alex was his character and personality was like elite. I mean, and Andy swore by the guy. Plus, I think 3 of the 4 years before Mahomes got there, they had made the playoffs and Alex had obviously played well. Like, it had just been a consistent operation. They just hadn't gotten over the hump. And Andy was adamant and clearly, like, Mahomes was a work in progress. I have a hard time seeing, like, going to a spring practice and seeing Jimmy and this kid run out together. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think you can risk the unknown of putting Jimmy and Justin Fields in just a locker room situation, in a meeting room situation, because it's an unfair situation for the 3rd overall pick. Like, I don't feel bad for Jimmy. Like, be a pro, suck it up. You're getting paid huge money. You've let the team down by disappearing 2 out of the last 3 years. But I will be stunned. I fully expect whoever they draft number 3 overall, my gut says it's Justin Fields, but I don't feel 100% confident with that with all the news out there. But that Jimmy is traded within the next 24 hours to a team that misses out on the quarterbacks, to a team that is just somewhat desperate. And I think the Niners would shoot for, because they don't have picks the next couple of years, like, could you get someone really their back against the wall to give you, like, you know, a 2022 second that if you make the playoffs or we play 16 games, or I guess 17 games now, it turns into a first or something. That's where I think the Niners are going over the top, how much they love Jimmy. Because clearly if they love Jimmy that much, they wouldn't have just traded, I don't know, pick 12 and 2 other first-round picks to move up a month before the draft. Like, that tells you how much they love Jimmy. I just think they need to build his value and just really prove to people that, like, or attempt to, that they're cool with running it back, even though that is not their plan.
Yeah. John Middlecoff is our guest. Have you heard any of what Orlovsky first said? And we knew this was going to happen, right? Orlovsky says, tell people told him, Fields is, you know, last one in, first one out sort of guy. And then, of course, you know, yesterday is the backpedaling, and, you know, you'll have people say that there's race involved there, which is, to me, it's ludicrous. Like, we pick apart all these quarterbacks. You know, Baker Mayfield couldn't run away from the cops for, I guess he was drinking outside. I don't even know if he's underage drinking or whatever. So that became, like,
Johnny got destroyed.
Johnny got destroyed. Like, I'm sorry. You lose any credibility in the real world of football if you think digging into somebody's work ethic has anything to do at all with race in the real world. In Twitter, I get that it works. But have you heard any of that with Justin Fields?
I had not. I'd only heard good things. The one thing I had heard is that he's, like, maybe his personality is probably closer. It's a different. I mean, it's not quite this, but, like, Justin Herbert, a little more reserved of a person. But I have never heard anything negative. The clump of guys, you know, the Niners group, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, were all, like, checking all the boxes off the field. So I didn't even do much digging after that. Like, the people that I trust were like, yeah, they're all fine. Right, there's not an issue. So I had not. And clearly Orlovsky kind of did a backpedal fast. I just think sometimes, you know, if I was the Carolina Panthers, I would want Nate. I mean, part of this is market manipulation. And, you know, at the end of the day, the fans get up in arms, the media gets up in arms. But if the teams all have this information, who cares? You know, I mean, it sucks for the kid to have to see that, but if your employer and the coaches that believe in you don't think it's all BS, it's all kind of white noise on the internet. Now, I get being a younger guy, social media doesn't feel like white noise, but that's really what it is if it's not true.
Is there a guy who we're not talking about who you're like, because we keep looking at these first round picks, quarterbacks, and most of them, you know, more of them have hit. Is there a guy we're not talking about that in you talking to NFL people, like, that guy's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? It just has to be with the right team, and it's going to take some time, and he won't be drafted in the first round.
No, I think this class is pretty well established of the five guys. I mean, I Kellen Mond, I'm not that big of a fan of. I know Davis Mills because his attributes, you know, he's big, he's fast, he's got a good arm, but he's been hurt countless times. I mean, to me, he's like a mid-round pick. I don't think there's any feel like there's a Russell Wilson type or even like a Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, that's going to go in the second round that people like, or even Drew Lock a couple years ago, people thought that could be a starter. I don't think really, to me, that guy is Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones should be like pick 50 and that you'd feel really good about that. Now he's just kind of turned into like, he's going to go in the top 10. I'd say 5 years ago, Mac Jones was just going in the second or third round. How, that's where he should go.
How high is too high for Kyle Pitts, who's, I think he, if he doesn't, he should star in an X-Men movie because he could not be made of the same DNA as me and you. I mean, that guy, 6'6", 240, running a 4.4. But he's still a tight end, but we stay tight end, but tight end is way more valuable now if he can block at all, as opposed to, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. How high is too high positional, in terms of positional draft?
Well, I think if you just put him next to the wide receivers, I would take him 100% over any of those guys. And I think recent history would show us that you could get really sweet wide receivers either at the end of the first round in the 20s and definitely in the second round. But this guy at this size and just how dominant he was in the SEC – to me, he's clearly, like, if I was going to go with the skill guy in the top 15, which I'm kind of pivoting away from, I think the draft philosophy is pretty well established. Like, you probably want to go with a big heavy, whether that be an O-lineman, whether that be a D-tackle or a pass rusher. But if I was going to go with a, you know, wide receiver or a playmaker, I would 100% go with that guy. He's too big of a physical outlier. Like, at the end of the day, Ja'Marr Chase is basically 6 feet tall. And I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be really good in the NFL. But there's a big difference of putting guys on someone that's 6 feet tall and putting a guy on that's almost, you know, 6'6". Like that guy, if you have a tall defensive back, right, like Richard Sherman, he's got Richard Sherman by 3.5 inches, let alone most guys are not that tall. So he's got everyone by 6-7 inches because a lot of, you know, whether it's linebackers or safeties have to run with that guy. And the league has gotten so small. Like me and Guy talked to Merton Hanks a couple weeks ago. Back in the day, like in the 90s, they weren't as fluid of athletes, but the safeties were all really big. So it was a little harder for tight ends, and they could hit them.
Right.
Nowadays, most of these safeties are much more like hybrid kind of corners,
right,
because covering and playing in space is such a big deal that look at Kelce. Like, what do you do with that guy? Even Gronk when he's healthy, like there are no answers, let alone this guy, you know, that is that tall. Like Kittle, the one thing that makes Kittle so special is he's a great athlete. He's not that tall. You know, if he was, he's 6'2 and a half, 6'3. If he was 6'6, I mean, that is just, that's a big difference, right, between like a Draymond Green who's 6'5 and then the guys that are 6'10. It's just that extra height is just such a differentiating factor in just one-on-one situations that, let's face it, you just end up in a lot of one-on-one situations in the NFL.
Awesome stuff, John. Enjoy the hoops this weekend. Do you have a pick you want to share with me? I mean,
yeah, it just feels like Zags Baylor and then Zags blow out Baylor.
Yeah, I don't know if they blow out Baylor. I do think they win kind of handily. It's one of those really close and then some separation there, second part of the second half, where they have more shot makers. That's really what it kind of comes down to. They have more shot makers.
I do appreciate Baylor's bigs all look like they could play in the NFL. They're all just jacked.
Yes, yes.
They got some dudes, man. They got a good weight program down at Baylor Hoops.
No, I mean, Mark Vidal is a guy like, yo, dude, you could legit put on a helmet, shoulder pads, and play in the NFL in a year like that.
Well, I've thought that watching them. I've texted a couple buddies, and because usually like off-season projects for some of these guys,
yeah,
you kind of reach out like, hey man, you want to play in France or you want to just come maybe run some routes for our coach and take a swing here?
Yeah, what I've been told by GMs who
how tall is he?
Vital 6'4". 6'5".
Yeah, to me, that's prime time size. You know, he's not too tall. Like
what, what would you do with him? You get him into your camp. What do you do with Mark Vidal? What do you make him into?
Well, I mean, you'd have to do some digging on the toughness and stuff. I mean, if he's tough enough, you could probably mess around with some defense. I don't know if he played high school football, but, you know, tight end has been historically the transition. But I think an athlete that's strong, if he's tough enough, you can try him at multiple positions.
I do not believe he played high school football. I could be wrong.
Yeah, which is always somewhat.
That's right. They need to have a football background, right? But he is from Louisiana, so I mean, maybe there's
plays tough.
Yes, he is tough. He is tough. There's no question about it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Later, man.
All right, let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Doug, we'll continue with some NFL discussion here. Spring, usually a time of hope. Winter has passed. Things are coming back to life. Try telling that to Bears fans. That's right. Bears GM Ryan Pace met with the media earlier today. He made it official, saying this about Andy Dalton. He is our starting quarterback as we head into the season. When asked, why make that announcement now? He said, because that's how we see Andy Dalton, as a starting quarterback. Then when he was asked about signing Andy Dalton in the offseason and what that meant to the team, here's what he said.
We're always looking to add to every position and get better everywhere, and there's no more important position than quarterback, and we feel like we've done that. We feel like we've gotten better than Andy. We're excited to add him.
There you go. Andy Dalton better than Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, according to Ryan Pace.
Well, in fairness to Andy Dalton,
He's probably right. It's just the margin at which he probably is actually better than them.
He did go to the playoffs for 5 straight years when he was with the Bengals. They never won a playoff game. I don't think they're done yet. Right? They were here with Mike Glennon. Glennon less accomplished than Andy Dalton. But remember, they signed Mike Glennon, and then that exact same draft they traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. So I do think there's still plays to be made. But it's like one of those things like, okay, well, what option did you like better? By the way, imagine if they had traded for Deshaun Watson right now.
Yeah.
Okay. What option did you like better? Did you like Jameis better? Like, okay, what about how Jameis plays makes you think you can win football games? Threw for a ton of yards, threw a ton of interceptions. Okay. Marcus Mariota didn't become available. Garoppolo, to this point, hasn't been available. Right? Like, you weren't going to get Stafford. They weren't going to trade him in division. So, like, Jared Goff or Andy Dalton?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz didn't want to go there. So, true. All of these things, they wanted Carson Wentz. They wanted Russell Wilson, but they weren't willing to, you know, the Seahawks weren't willing to trade. So all of those things, it sounds great to like, hey, go get, you got a guy who's accomplished. He's fine. Is he great? No, nobody would argue that. Steady and solid.
I'm not sure what else you can do if you're the Bears. So maybe it's just, you know, kicking a guy while he's down. The problem is when you do like the QB1 stuff on Twitter and then you have the press conference here, good. Like, I get you're not going to come out there and be like, yeah, I mean, you know, Andy Dalton is whatever.
Andy Dalton stinks.
We kind of ran out of options. I get it. But it does sort of, to your point where you say, it just feels like they're selling it as Andy Dalton's great. And we all know he's not.
Andy Dalton, boom.
Yeah.
Eat that, suckers.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little much. All right, give me another one.
Well, we will finish it up here with this. Your guy, I say your guy, Doug, Aaron Rodgers getting ready to host Jeopardy. Actually, he's already hosted. They're getting ready to air him as the host. Yeah. He talked to Rob Demosky about what he did to prepare. I watched hours and hours of episodes, but I looked at it from a different perspective. I couldn't watch it as a fan anymore. I had to watch it from Alex's perspective. I took pages and pages of notes. I wrote everything down. When I wrote the responses down, when questions got contestants wrong, I got down the beats of the show. I literally studied it like no other. I just absolutely wanted to crush it.
That's awesome. I want to see how it comes out. It's one thing to replace somebody in a game show.
Yeah.
Alex Smith was Jeopardy.
Trebek.
I mean, Alex Trebek was Jeopardy. Alex Trebek was Jeopardy. But like, look, he took it seriously. A lot of guys, they get that big gig and like, just wing it. Like, yeah, you can't really wing that. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, coming up next in The Herd. So Kevin Durant sort of apologized for the language he used in his DMs to Michael Rapoport. There's one thing KD needs to realize that's getting lost in all of this. I'll tell you what it is next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be, make this part of your day. So Kevin Durant went all in on Michael Rapoport on DMs, and Michael Rapoport, of course, put that out on social media. Now, I don't know Kevin Durant. I do know Michael Rapoport. That doesn't mean I'm here to support Michael Rapoport or whatever's going on with him and Dave Portnoy. And I don't know enough about it. It's a universe that looks like ours, feels like ours. It is not close to the same universe that I live in. I just don't. So I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on. I would say two things. One, I don't believe in broadcasting direct messages to the rest of the world. It was sent as a direct message to be a direct message, not a shared message. So I disagree with anybody, you know, who puts that out there where they say, oh, well, Kevin Durant shouldn't have messaged him this language. Like, yeah, but you don't share somebody's direct message. I don't think you do that. It's like a private conversation you have with somebody. That said, I think Kevin Durant needs to realize, I believe that when he's healthy, he's the best player in the league. Got an unguardable jump shot. He's become a good defender, a rim protector. You can play him anywhere on the court. Like, he's won championships. He's shown that in big games, but he continues to, he was searching for affirmation of his greatness. If you're searching for affirmation of your greatness on social media, they'll be like, bro, you're not going to find it. You're just not. Like, don't. I mean, I learned this a long time ago when I was doing NCAA tournament games. Don't Twitter search your name. I know I'm good at doing games. Know it. Listen to them, watch them, like, yep. I've had people that I actually care about, their opinion, say, bro, you're really good. But if I was to Twitter search when I'm doing an NCAA tournament game, be like, that guy's the biggest idiot of all time. Like, really? Okay. Like, Kevin Durant is going to have to come to every story that comes out, and most of them are not good. And about his use of social media, there's just going to be a group of people who don't judge him in that light. They can't see him that way because of the burner accounts, because of going at people this way, because of the language and the, he may be trying to keep it real, but this is when keeping it real goes wrong. If you're going to attach a legacy to somebody, your legacy, who should it be? We'll discuss next in The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.